This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Gil Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that style? Everybody look what's growing, never stop.
With everything in the world on the line in the game of basketball, it's Game 7 NBA Finals, Cleveland and Golden State. We take you to the fourth quarter. Steph Curry on the deep three, but Golden State needing to come back, and Draymond up to the mission. 32 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists. LeBron James, a triple, gives the Cavaliers the lead, 89-87. It's tied at 89 later when Kyrie goes for three over Steph Curry. Wonderful shot. And then LeBron going up for the clincher, but he's fouled by Draymond Green. Takes a huge pounding on the floor. He goes to the line, missed the first, makes the second. It's a four-point lead. Could Cleveland crash Golden State's championship dreams? Well, Steph Curry's got a shot at three. It's no good, and Mo Spates is too late. Cleveland wins the NBA championship, taking it from Golden State that came back from down 3-1 to win this thing. Your final score, 93-89.
Well, Scott, I don't know about you, but I was thankful for an 8 p.m. start Eastern time. You know, these late night games, I mean, I was talking to so many people here on the East, and they go, oh, man, this is just wiping me out. But what a game. What a game last night. Draymond Green had a great game, and they must have been tied at, what were they tied at, 89 for, you know, a couple of minutes. I mean, defense had really tightened up.
87, I think.
87, I'm sorry, yeah.
87 is what they were tied at, and it seemed like they were tied there forever.
Yeah.
And then, what's his name, Kyrie? Hit the big three-point shot.
What a beautiful three-point over Steph. I mean, it was a gorgeous shot. I mean, it was clean, and there it is. I mean, because you're thinking, of all people, who's going to drop a three? It was going to be Steph or Thompson or even Draymond. Draymond Green was draining, and
Draymond
I was surprised
was last night.
I was surprised that they weren't feeding him the ball. I mean, he was the guy that had the hand, and I mean, Steph threw up a couple of bricks there, you know, at the end, which was so uncharacteristic of him. I mean, it was like, wow, it was definitely Cleveland's game, and you got to hand it to LeBron and give him all the kudos and credit. I mean, for those that have been slow in appreciating this man's ability, wow, what it was showcased last night.
To get a real understanding of how awesome LeBron was in this series, he led both teams in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks.
Is that all?
That's it. Yeah, you know. So that tells you how dominant he was. And for Steph, he had the past couple series have been really tough on him.
Yeah, really has.
Oklahoma City, he kind of had the same thing going where he didn't look right.
Yeah. Well, the NBA, well, I think, you know, he was still dealing maybe possibly whatever, a little bit, I mean, you can say whatever you want. But it's tough. I mean, three-pointers at the range that these guys shoot from, they just weren't flowing in like they were for whatever reason. And, you know, you get down to the seventh game we were talking the other night, you know, going back to the 80s with Detroit and, you know, how physical, you know, the finals get. And this was a physical contest. There's no doubt about it. And it comes back again to what coaches will always say. It's about defense. The other thing, too, really quickly I want to talk about is Dustin Johnson finally winning his first major. And, wow, I mean, unbelievable. I played that course at Oakmont many times, and it was so much fun because there were so many memories that came back. Of course, they were playing many another zip code compared to where we teed off from, but still, it's just an incredible course, and what DJ was able to do was most incredible. And of course, the big controversy was the penalty. Scott, I can tell you for the life of me, I don't know what's going on with the SCGA that they would even. I mean, look at, if you're going to apply a penalty, throw the flag, apply the penalty. Don't say, hey, look at, after this is over, we want you to come back into the box and we're gonna talk about it. You know, I mean, that was amazing to me, what kind of additional pressure and frustration potentially that could have put on a guy who's running for his first Open. Unbelievable.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the foods your family loves. And the best part is, the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat, even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
That number one said,
getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Dream work, right? If we're going to get this country back on track, it's going to be up to me and you, bottom up, not top down. Top down, as you know, is what got us into this mess. This is a government of, for, and by we the people, ladies and gentlemen. This is our government. It doesn't belong to one Paul Ryan, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Barack Obama. It belongs to us, we the people. But if we're not going to exercise that right, well, then they're going to have their way with us, and that's what's been going on. Neil Monroe is with us, Washington, D.C. political reporter for Breitbart.com and a former White House correspondent for the Daily Caller, and a native of Ireland, which I'm going to here in a couple weeks. Looking forward to that. In fact, looks like I might even get some extra golf in with, Keith Getty. We talked about it last weekend. Neil Monroe, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. As always,
glad
how you doing?
Here. Excellent.
Hey, what a time, man. There's just so much stuff going on. Hey, what is this latest with this government? They just cannot get a connection with reality. Now the Department of Justice saying that they're going to delete the Orlando gunman's ISIS vows, Islamic references from his 9/11 call. Now we have politically correct 9/11 calls, Neil. This is what it's coming down to. Are you kidding me?
It's really hard to see how far they go. That's an amazing thing. We know what the guy said. They just want to hide it from us because they want to portray this terrorist attack as a lunatic gunman. And by the way, this is sounding pretty much like what they did in the whole Benghazi episode.
Exactly.
And that was, they blamed it on a video. Now they're blaming it on gun control. They hid information back then because they wanted to hide the fact they had broad failures of policy in Benghazi. Now they're hiding the fact that they have a broad failure of anti-terrorism policy.
Mm. Well, if they follow the same trajectory, Neil, like Benghazi, how long is it going to be before Hillary Clinton comes out and says nobody died in Orlando?
Nobody died from terrorism. Mm. Maybe very soon. It is impressive, too, in that it shows complete contempt for the media. It's telling the media, I've got something you always expected to get. It's normal to get in a democracy, but we're not going to give it to you because we think you media won't complain, and they're probably correct.
Right. Well, the thing is, it happens when you withhold information like this. It actually brings it more to the headline than it does, than goes away. Maybe they're just hoping that people will forget and not understand. But really, you know, you got to look to the root of this worldview that's driving this administration. You know, we've been saying for quite a while, people want to argue about whether or not Barack Obama is a Muslim. I said, forget about arguing whether or not he is. He clearly is sympathetic. He is pro-Muslim. He's anti-Semitic. And you might even question his own patriotism. And I understand that galls people and galls some Democrats to question one's patriotism. But it just seems that, and this is the conflict, this is the contrast between he and Hillary Clinton and one Donald Trump. Donald Trump is pro-American. Everything that he says is a reasonable, common sense statement and worldview of people that want to say, yeah, what about America? Why are we getting the short end of the stick all the time? And now we've got a narrative that's coming out of the administration that has anything that has to do with the Muslim religion, Muslim people, ISIS, and all that gets tamped down and rewritten. And, you know, and you got to look at his administration. How many, you know, Muslim sympathizers or Muslim believers does he have in his inner circle?
Well, lots. It is a strange thing. He is not religious in the slightest. He gave a speech a couple of months ago to a mosque in Baltimore, mm-hmm. and it was basically completely contemptuous of Islam. He talked about Islam is good for getting access to public health, and it keeps people happy, and it's all sorts of stuff like that. He really despises religion as a sort of childish thing, including Islam. But he's really also determined to sort of help people, help Muslims, because he thinks they've had an unfair shake over the last couple of centuries. And so he's deeply sympathetic to Islam at the same time. It's a ludicrous set of beliefs, in fact, un-American beliefs, but that's the guy we elected.
Exactly. And here we are going through another election cycle, which is the most bizarre election cycle I've ever experienced in my lifetime, Neil.
Yeah.
We've got two people that are so hugely unliked, untrusted, and unbelievable. And I have maintained, and I have no basis other than it's just a gut feel, and I will say that up front, that I would not be surprised if the next person to be elected president gets elected with around 35% of the popular vote.
Oh, you can't exclude anything in this unprecedented election. Both our candidates are very unpopular for a variety of personal and political reasons. But Trump's chief advantage, or his chief selling point, is he's just viscerally pro-American. There's a lot of stuff he doesn't understand about politics. Mm-hmm. He's nowhere near as a skilled speaker or a political operator as Obama. He doesn't have anywhere near as much money. The GOP is split thoroughly. The establishment hates his guts. All those things make it very hard for Trump to win. But at the same time, he's just viscerally American. It never occurs to him to be not pro-American.
Right.
And that's the biggest difference between him and the Clinton-Obama process. The Democrats are like some sort of, well, basically gang. They're here because they want to get in power, and they'll do and they'll believe anything that helps them get in power. I mean, they're choosing to believe now. They're looking at each other and saying, yes, yes, the Orlando thing was all about guns. Yeah, that's it. It's preposterous. There are these clever people looking each other in the face and saying, yeah, A is B, 1 and 1 is 3. But that's because they desperately want to get back in power. It gives them money and power and status. And so they're going to fight tremendously hard for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's blame the Christians.
Yes,
let's blame the Christians for this. It has to be the Christians' fault.
Yeah, they're not in our gang. We need to, and we abundantly know the failures because one Muslim immigrant kind of guy, he's born in the U.S., who is potentially gay, murdered 49 of our friends. We need to find a scapegoat.
Exactly.
And the scapegoat is that white guy over there.
Yeah. If it wouldn't have been those doggone Christians, you know, that Bible-toting thing that they tote that just condemns people. I mean, forget the fact that it's their own conscience that condemns them. You know, the Word of God just reinforces it. But, you know, it's their worldview. Go ahead.
And they never actually look at what Islam is. They never pay attention to the person they're getting in bed with, so to speak. It's psychologically, it's really impressive. And it's like you have a postgraduate degree to be this stupid.
they have masters in stupidity now?
Well, just really clever people.
I know they've had PhDs in stupidity for a while, but I didn't, you know, but maybe that's right.
Really clever people find new ways to lie to other people and to themselves.
Amazing, huh? Neil, we're going to pick it up after the break. Neil Monroe is with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 15 after.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare? Having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
You know, we've all heard about the health benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in the fatty tissues of fish? Bill Martinez Live recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA. Insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. Join us on online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, join us, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates that we have, including Red State Talk Radio, the cable radio network, shortwave around the world via our affiliate at WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee. Welcome aboard. It's Bill Martinez Live coming at you 19 minutes after the top of the hour. A conversation with Neil Monroe in Washington, D.C., a political reporter for Breitbart.com, former White House correspondent for the Daily Caller and a native of Ireland, continues. Neil, you know, as we were talking about here earlier, that is so critical. Even the president at one time said words matter. But, you know, on the heels of last week's confrontation about his resistance to, say, radical Islam, this is just incredible to me that on the heels of that, the Department of Justice, his Department of Justice, is saying, hey, we want to, edit out any ISIS vows, Islamic references from his 9/11 calls. This is unconscionable to me.
Yeah, but it's consistent with what he wants to do. Look, he's got this he's got this domestic strategy to fight jihadi outbursts like this, okay? And the basic strategy has been, this really is what he's done. They know Muslim communities produce these killers, because we've had hundreds of them since 9/11. So what they're doing is they're making a political deal with Muslim communities. We'll be nice to you, and we'll bring over more Muslims to make you bigger. We won't send civil rights lawyers into your communities to stop some of the crazy stuff you do to each other. We let you alone, and in turn, you got to tell us when one of the boys is going to go crazy. And that's the political deal. That's great for Muslim groups, because that means they get more Muslims into the country, they get political access, they get political power, they get money, they get autonomy to segregate into little communities, and they can, tell the cops, yeah, we got a crazy one here, we got a crazy one there. But two problems with this, if you like, they can't spot all the crazies.
Yeah.
And they don't tell us about all the crazies. They don't tell us about the ones who are maybe crazies. Because if you're a local sort of Muslim government in, say, in Dearborn or some city, Orlando, you really don't want to go telling the cops every time one of your own people gets a little crazy and about your own beliefs. And so they don't tell us. But then again, that's not so much a problem for them. As long as the president is friendly to them, it's okay. Because look what just happened. So one of their guys follows through on the Quran, and they shoot a bunch of homosexuals just before an election. And you know what the Republican response is? To extend the president's policy from the federal level down to the state and local governments. That's what the House Republicans have voted to do. And what this means is, by extending the policy to state and local guys, the feds are going to go to cities, counties, and states and say, we now have the authority to give you money for anti-terrorism programs. But in exchange for getting money for anti-terrorism programs, you must never mention Islam. And so in practice, what that means, let's say the cops say there's a guy who's mouthing off about, killing kafirs and Jews and homosexuals and all this kind of stuff. The cops can go to his parents, they can go to his employer, they can go to local people, figures and people who know what's going on in the community, but they can't ever say anything about religion. And it's like trying to track the mafia without being allowed to talk about money.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
It's impossible.
Or crime.
You can see it happening in front of you, but you can't ask about it. So when this guy, the FBI interviewed Mateen multiple times, they investigated him two or three times. Under Obama's countering violent extremism rules, they have to pretend he's an Amish guy.
Yes.
Or a Catholic. Or an agnostic. So Mateen is sitting down looking at the FBI chit-chat, and they can't ask Mateen, so you think we're bad, America's bad, and you think you're going to go to heaven if you shoot a bunch of Americans. You can't say that as a cop because of Obama's policies. Of course they can't stop these guys. Yeah. So the political deal Obama has set up is to say, to the Muslim Brotherhood groups in the United States, I'll bring in more people and put them under your control under immigration laws. You can have your semi-segregated little political communities growing in the U.S. Mm-hmm. You'll get more money, and you won't get any hassle from the cops or civil rights lawyers as long as you keep the terrorism down to a minimum. The strategy has obviously failed, and it's obviously making things worse. But Democrats are not going to argue against this. They think Democrats love the idea psychologically. They can bring in Muslims and turn them into Americans. It's insane, but that's what they want.
Well, it's not so much turn them into Americans as much as turn them into voters.
Well, yeah, but psychologically, these are the progressives at the top of the Democratic Party. They believe you can build a society without religion. It's a sort of part of the project they do. It means they get to be in charge, of course. So when you say to them, you're bringing in 1 million Muslims during Obama's term, and they believe crazy stuff. They're vicious stuff, nasty, primitive stuff. And they're going to tell it to their children, and half the children are going to pay attention, and half are not. You're causing an enormous amount of trouble for everybody in the U.S., and their response is like the Europeans. They can't say to themselves, Islam is too sticky, Islam is too nasty, we shouldn't have anything to do with it. No, that would mean they would be admitting that their own ideology, their own belief systems is not powerful enough to turn Muslims into Americans.
Exactly. And well, don't you find it ironic, though, Neil? They don't want a religion, you know, and what they're saying is they don't want Christianity or Judaism to have an effect. And so now what they're going to do is they're going to exchange Christianity and Judaism, which has been at the foundation of this country for all these years and have done an incredible amount of good things, not only in this country but around the world, and they're going to exchange it for the Muslim religion.
Yeah.
And what has the Muslim religion given us?
They're basically hiring Muslims, in effect, are political mercenaries. They're importing Muslim voters in order to attack Christian voters. But the important thing is you can't sort of think it like careful scientific odds, which is better, which is worse. No, you have to think what suits all the clever people who run the Democratic Party. What makes the Democratic Party people feel powerful? Well, the group the Democrats hate most are the people who stop them doing what they want.
Exactly.
And that means average American, pro-American Christian.
Well, I want Neil, people need to understand who Barack Obama has surrounded himself with. I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, there are dozens upon dozens of inner circle Muslims who are influencing this policy. I mean, for example, the Assistant Secretary for Policy Development for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Arif Alikam. He's a former deputy mayor of Homeland Security and Public Safety for the city of Los Angeles, was responsible for derailing the LAPD's plan to monitor activities within the Los Angeles Muslim community, was appointed as Assistant Secretary for the Office of Policy Development in Barack Obama's Department of Homeland Security in 2009. He became a professor of Homeland Security and Counterterrorism in 2010. And this is just one. I mean, there are dozens upon dozens, and he is the Assistant Secretary for Policy Development. So you tell me that he's not responsible for tamping down and misdirecting the truth of what we need to hear about?
This guy is implementing Obama's policy of growing Muslim communities inside the United States and giving them power, providing they tamp down terrorism, which they don't really have an incentive to do. Because every time terrorism bursts out, every time Muslim jihad kills a bunch of Americans, what do the progressives do? What do establishment Republicans do? They say, hey, here's more power, here's more money to keep you satisfied.
Exactly.
Muslim groups profit by killing us.
Exactly. Well, Neil, we're all wrapped up. Thank you again so much. Appreciate the perspective. Neil Monroe on Bill Martinez Live.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home and design experts Aaron and Ben Napier. Summer is here, so if you want to get out of town and you're up for a road trip or want to try something new, just pick a spot on the map. Don't forget to pack snacks in bulk, fuel up the car, and get ready to hit the road for a big trip on a smart budget with these tips.
Living in the South, we're lucky to live near beautiful backcountry roads. For summer weekend getaways, we like to stop by the nearest grocery store to load up on snacks, hop in the car, and explore the open road with our favorite music on the radio.
To make our summer road trip budget go further, we fill up at gas stations far away from freeways for better prices. Our best road trip tool is our Bank America Cash Rewards credit card that allows us to earn 3% cash back on gas and 2% cash back at grocery stores and wholesale clubs on the first $2,500 in combined purchases. Plus, we earn 1% on all other purchases.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-941-9796.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer only available by calling 1-800-941-9796. That's 1-800-941-9796.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
We got it. Little Jersey Boys music here just to kind of bring up the morning a little bit. Why not? 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. Well, the Ninth Circuit Court is at it again. I guess what President Obama couldn't do and what our legislature couldn't do, God forbid that they would legislate law. Let's have, you know, we really don't need the legislature. You know, when you got activist judges in the Ninth Circuit Court doing all their fun and games here, but serious ones, you know, why do we need them? Well, why, in case you missed it last week, while you might have been asleep or, you know, grieving for what happened in Orlando in two instances there that are most incredible, they decided that, concealed carry is something that, we have no right to. Well, Dr. John Lott is back with us. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, a world-recognized expert on concealed handgun laws. His book, More Guns, Less Crime, represents by far the most comprehensive academic study of concealed handgun laws. Dr. Lott, is always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, great to talk to you again, Bill.
Hey, John, the Ninth Circuit Court, I mean, this, like, wow, I mean, just all of a sudden came upon us, and, you know, we've known the Ninth Circuit to be a little wacky anyway, but they've decided they're going to be the rulers of the land and implement law here.
Well, I think they see an opportunity. I think they are betting that the Supreme Court vacancy is going to be replaced by Hillary Clinton, and they'll be able to gut the previous Supreme Court decisions on gun ownership. So back in 2008 and then 2010, you had two decisions by the Supreme Court that said that the government could not completely ban an entire category of guns, in this case, handguns.
Mm-hmm.
And that the term to keep and bear arms meant you could keep a gun in your home and you could bear, basically meant to carry a gun outside your home. And so, you know, it could be possible for the government to go and regulate people being able to go and carry guns outside their home, but it seems pretty clear that they should have been able to carry at least either openly or concealed in some way to be able to do it. And what the Ninth Circuit Court's decision is in California, you're already banned to be able to carry a gun openly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, effectively, you can ban people also from being able to carry concealed. And so they're saying there's no right to self-defense outside the home. And I think what that leaves open the possibility is that when this case gets to the Supreme Court, depending upon who wins the presidency, there'll be a decision that says that not only don't you have a right to carry outside the home, but there's no right to be able to, for self-defense anyplace. I think that's where they're going on it.
Well, John, talking about the Supreme Court, immediately there's one selection, as we know, the replacement for Scalia, and then we got news over the weekend that Judge Thomas is looking to retire. He wants to be in his motorhome.
Well, I mean, he's in his late 60s, so I suppose it's not 60s? Unreasonable.
Is he in his late? I thought he was older than that. Is that it?
I don't know. I have to go check. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But the he's. But in any case, you know, people get up there in age. He's been on the court since the early 1990s.
Mm.
That's a pretty long time to have had one particular job, and so it's not surprising that you know, he may want to retire. But at that point, and you also have Anthony Kennedy, who is over 80 years of age.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah, he's the one that was 80s. You're right. Judge Thomas is late 60s. He was born in 48, right. So about 67, 68 right now.
Right. Okay. That's okay. What I thought. So the so in any case,
in fact, his birthday will be in a couple of days, is what I'm seeing. So
right,
happy birthday to Judge Thomas, and so
right.
That will make him officially 68 years old.
Right. But so. Basically, if you have a Democrat, replace each of those three conservative, or in Kennedy's case, moderate justices, then you would end up having probably a 7-2 liberal majority on the Supreme Court. And, you know, so it wouldn't just be people's right to self-defense that would be gone. There would be a whole range of other issues, and they would be that way probably for the next 25 years or so.
You know, you and I have talked about this, the hypocrisy of it all, these government officials that want we the people to be gunless in Seattle, but they're not about to, you know, reject their security with guns.
Right. Well, I mean, just this last week, we've had everybody from Bill Clinton to Hillary to President Obama saying that they don't believe people should be able to have had concealed handguns in this Orlando attack, that it just would have made things worse for them to have done that, that they believe it's fine that it was a gun-free zone.
Where's the proof of that statement, John?
Right. Well, I mean, for Bill Clinton saying that it just would have made things worse, it seems pretty easy. I mean, you can go and look on our website at crimeresearch.org. You can see dozens of cases that we have listed there, along with the links to the original news stories, to see where people have stopped mass public shootings around the country.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, there's been no case at all where a permit holder who stopped one of these attacks has accidentally shot a bystander. There's no cases when the police have arrived on the scene that they've accidentally shot the permit holder that's there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... there's no justification for those types of claims. But, I mean, permit holders tend to be extremely law-abiding. I know some, if you listen to the talk shows yesterday, were saying, well, it's unreasonable to have had a gun in Orlando because this was a place where people could drink alcoholic beverages. The thing is, in 40 of the states, you're allowed to go and carry a permanent concealed handgun into bars.
Mm-hmm.
Some states have it essentially like you can carry it in there, but you're not allowed to drink, something, you know, analogous to a designated driver type situation. In other cases, it's simply a criminal offense if you get drunk while you're mm-hmm. carrying. But the bottom line is that there's no cases that they can point to with all these states and all the decades that some of these states have had these laws where there's been one case of what they claim they fear would happen.
Exactly.
Where a permit holder mm-hmm. would go and get drunk and pull out his gun and shoot somebody else. There's not one single example that they can give of that. These permit mm-hmm. holders are incredibly law-abiding.
Exactly.
And, you know, if they can point to one case, it might be something to debate, or hopefully a few cases, but given that they can't point to any cause other than a hypothetical thing that might possibly go wrong.
They just make stuff up because it's easier to stand in the theoretical. You know, I say in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and they don't want facts to get in the way. And as you state, about 70% of peer-reviewed U.S. studies by economists, criminologists, and law professors have found that permitted concealed handguns lower crime rates. John, real quick here, put into perspective, because we only got about a minute left, this argument about people who are on a no-fly zone still allowed to buy guns. I think it's a little bit more complicated. They kind of summarize it in a real quick bumper sticker soundbite, but there's more to that than that soundbite, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, the no-fly list is much broader than it used to be. I mean, just under the Obama administration, it's grown about tenfold over what it was at the end of Bush. And it includes people simply that the government wants to talk to about different things. And there's issues that if somebody really is under investigation by the FBI, you may not want to alert them to that fact. Maybe you want to do what Senator Cornyn has in his bill, which would be to alert the FBI when somebody like that wants to buy a gun. Mm-hmm. But simply to make it so that individuals who have gotten on that list lose their rights to be able to go and defend themselves and don't have any way of adjudicating it. It just seems wrong.
Exactly. Dr. John Lott, Crime Prevention Research Center President, economist, world-recognized expert on guns and crime. Dr. Lott, thank you so much for being with us.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, There's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez live. Live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to be talking about bringing peace to the Middle East. I'm demoting him here. Forgive me, Colonel. Colonel Anthony Dean, who is retired, is with us right now. And let me tell you, he shouldn't be demoted in any way. If anything, he should be promoted, especially when you read his story in his book, Ramadi Declassified, A Roadmap to Peace in the Most Dangerous City in Iraq. Now, let me give you a little bit of background here, according to the jacket of the book. He was told to take back Ramadi, but don't make it another Fallujah. Now, this was the order that then Lieutenant Colonel Tony Dean, commander of Task Force Conquer, received in May of 2006. By then, Ramadi, the capital of Anbar province, had become the most dangerous city in Iraq. The sound of explosions and gunfire filled the air around the clock. The civilian government had collapsed, and the fledgling Iraqi security forces proved incapable of protecting the population from a brutal al-Qaeda murder and intimidation campaign. The city was in absolute chaos, as you may recall, and as you could only imagine. Colonel Tony Dean, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, I think so much can be lost in translation and in history, and especially in light of the media that wants to be non-objective. So I appreciate and I'm grateful for your story, because this show is about pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. And with you being retired, you can give us a clear objective of what is going on in the Middle East, how we've gotten ourselves in this mess, and how, you know, what kind of solutions can we look toward?
Well, yeah, thank you. So 10 years ago, we found ourselves in this absolute mess when we arrived. And I arrived as part of a larger unit, the 1st Brigade, 1st Armored Division. And our commander changed tactics. We pushed in the city. We said, hey, we need to root these guys out kind of block by block. But mm-hmm. the most important thing happened while we were there. We also focused on the Iraqis. And we reached out to some local leaders who happened to be tribal sheikhs, and asked them to help us recruit policemen for the local area. And, you know, Tip O'Neill said all politics is local. So once mm-hmm. we had the local men joining the police, they were able to, much better than we ever could, point out who the terrorists were. And in a matter of a year, it went from the most dangerous city in the world to The Iraqis ran a 5K race down the down Mount Michigan, which was the probably one of the most dangerous streets in Iraq.
Can you imagine that? What a change! What a difference 12 months can make when you're serious about taking on the enemy, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the other thing too was, you know, the Americans were viewed initially as suspects, but after a while, we kind of became the honest broker in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And the people looked at us for a way ahead, and we were able to get the Sunni tribes to support the government in Baghdad. And things got better, following our operations, the surge occurred. And, if you look back in 2010, things were pretty good in Iraq.
You know, kind of amazing, by contrast, here you've got a group like ISIS that any kind of positive propagandish type report, anything that they can spin in their direction, they get all kind of coverage for. But again, this really indicts, I believe, the media at the time that was so anti-Bush, did not want to give Republicans any kind of credit, and they served to work against our soldiers and the efforts of what people like you were doing, Colonel, there. I mean, putting your lives on the line, you get a great victory like this. I mean, to hear that 12 months before, you had a hornet's nest where you got guns blasting in air 24/7, all kinds of chaos, the rule of law had totally broken down, and in 12 months, because the local people realized that they had to get in the fight, and if there was going to be a change, it was going to be up for them. So they get involved for good, and now you've got a marathon being run down, a main street that was covered by gunfire. I mean, what a victory, and here's the first time we hear about it.
Well, the story was kind of lost. That's why I wrote it. And I really thought what we accomplished there could kind of be a microcosm for the future. And, one of the big things is that the media never came out. Okay. And the terrorists were very, very savvy at using the media to push their ends. And they're on the internet, and they've even gotten better, because the ISIS guys are really the leftover Al Qaeda and Iraq guys that the few that weren't killed off between us and the surge. These are the same guys, and they learned their lesson, and they reinvented themselves, renamed themselves, and they're back again. And my fear with ISIS now is we'll defeat them. I mean, I read last night that big parts of Fallujah fell, but until there's some sort of, long-term commitment there, another group will spring up in ISIS's ashes.
Yeah. Well, there's no question that, this is very difficult, for the general public here in the homeland to stomach war. We have shown time and time again, we can't handle the truth, as Jack Nicholson would say. We can't hold it in perspective because we're not, overall, when you consider that, less than 2% of America, enters into the military. And even then, when you get down to a battlefield experience, you're talking less than, a fraction of 1% of Americans actually go in the battlefield like you do, Colonel, and have seen it firsthand. You have a clear understanding of what is going on there and what military and what the war is all about. Most people, pundits, they've been so far away from it. It's all opinion-based. It is not fact-based. It is not real-based. And unfortunately, the majority of Americans are being falsely influenced by it. And it's almost like they're participating in this propaganda machine that ISIS and others have promoted. And we shouldn't be surprised by propaganda. I mean, we've been, as most of us who grew up during the Cold War, we experienced propaganda firsthand. And I think that we probably have grown to more accept it than to be vigilant against it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And as you look at what's happened in Iraq, I mean, and nobody hates war more than a soldier, because they're the ones that are actually out there doing the fighting. But we've been involved in Iraq now, I mean, my entire adult life, 25 years since Desert Storm. We've been bombing them on and off. And, and you say, well, we don't want a long-term commitment anywhere, but we've been at this for 25 years over there. Yeah. And, until people realize that, hey, listen, this, you know, you can't change the regime, you can't just kind of pull in and pull out and things will get fixed in an hour long TV show or a 2 hour movie. I mean, it takes generations to bring stability, much like Germany, Japan, or even the best case is probably Italy, which had 40 some governments post World War II in the first 20 years.
Well, based on what you experienced here, Colonel, you say in your book you have the roadmap to bringing peace to the Middle East. I mean, we've got beautiful women, you know, running for, queens of the world, that's their, you know, their longest desire is bringing peace to the Middle East. But we need to be practical here. And based on what you learned on the ground and what you experienced there in Ramadi, what's your solution?
Well, I think that, the problem right now is as much, diplomatic and political as it is military. So, yeah, we need to go after their leaders, and we need to make the terrorists look like they're receding, because, you know, people are drawn to it because they seem very successful. Mm-hmm. And you can say, oh, we're beating ISIS right now, but this jihadist movement really started with, you know, some of Bin Laden and five guys, you know, what, 30 years ago, and now they own land.
Exactly.
So, in Iraq, if you look back, 2010 before the pullout, 2011, things were very good. But once we pulled out, any kind of political process and, political accommodation between the Sunnis and the Shias and Kurds all fell apart. And so I think we need to put pressure on the Iraqi government, that they need to have a representative, democracy there. And people say, well, democracy, they can't have it, but they had it. But the roots of democracy take time to grow.
Exactly.
And we need to be there for the long haul.
Will history understand that the lack of a status of forces agreement was a disaster for everybody involved?
Yes. I think people are now starting to realize that. And there's a lot of, finger pointing on whose fault it really was. But the pulling out of Iraq was disastrous.
Yeah.
And that led to the current situation we're in, because literally the day after we left, the Iraqi prime minister arrested his Sunni vice president, started purging Sunni military leaders and Sunni politicians from the government, and civil protests broke out on the Sunni side, and Maliki branded all those people terrorists and sent his army into Anbar province, and that was really the start of what happened now with the rise of ISIS.
Yeah, I don't understand why people are busy, trying to point fingers. I mean, we know where the buck stops. The buck stops with this administration. I mean, you can turn it into a political debate if you want to, but ultimately, like in any, any act of war, Colonel, if you fail to execute your mission, it stopped with you. That was your responsibility. That's the way leadership works, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, to me, that was the, people debate going into the war, but right. Pulling out of it. No
exactly.
One ever talked about that.
Colonel Anthony Dean on Bill Martinez Live. Colonel, thank you so much for being with us.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You've been hearing about Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients keeping the body healthy. Bill Martinez Live now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 ORAC points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 855-305-8326 or BillMartinezLive.com. Youngevity, that's 855-305-8326.